Amen. One thing I wanted to mention before we get to the message is to make sure that you guys vote when it becomes the voting. Amen. We got to vote. We got to vote for truth and righteousness. So make sure that you know all the different propositions and how to vote. Study it out. And of course, you know how to vote. You vote biblically, right? If you vote biblically, you're going to be safe. Amen. Amen. And I, you know, like, just tell your neighbor like I do. Say, look, if you don't know how to fill out your ballot, just let me do it for you. I'd be happy to do it. Is that okay? I'm kidding. I just tell my mom that. We just joke about that. You got to help dear old mom, right? Or dear young mom, excuse me. So I'm just always trying to be helpful. Amen and amen. So make sure you vote. Amen. It's important because it's still we the people for right now. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So last week we were on part one of the book of Ruth. And the book of Ruth has what? Four chapters. And really the book of Ruth is powerful. And when you read the book of Ruth, we're talking about all these types and shadows of Christ, types and shadows of a believer's lives. So it really encouraged me, and amen. So I just want to go through a little bit there, and then I'll get on to part two. So Ruth, part two. You remember Naomi and Elimelech, and they moved to Moab, right? And Elimelech, which meant my God is king. And Elimelech, all of a sudden, what had been Naomi's husband, and she'd been relying on him, he dies, he's gone. Elimelech is gone, he's no longer there. He passes away. And I think, I think Elimelech is an example where perhaps the church in America is today. If you weren't here, you can go back and listen to it on azfamilychurch.com. But don't let me lose you as I vet through this, as I explain this, as we walk through this. Because I guarantee you what the Lord wants to do today for you is encourage you. Amen? And I think Elimelech is the example of where perhaps the church in America is today. I believe the church is going to have a fresh understanding of God's grace and his love for this day and age. We really are. Old mindsets of what this country used to be, was, and is going to be, must change. A fresh empowering of his Holy Spirit will be necessary. Amen? What that will look like yet, I don't quite know, but he knows. I know that things do have to change, and God is going to empower and work through his people and his church today to have an impact yet on America. Do you agree with that? Amen? But this I do know, our current situation has created, I believe, I talked about this, a dissatisfaction within his church and believers, individual believers, of where we are spiritually. And I'm not saying you don't have a relationship with the Lord. I'm not saying you are backslidden, but I am saying that for many believers, it's an understanding that if we are putting our hope in the Republican Party, come on, more religious programs within the church, then we are certainly in trouble. Don't get me wrong, I'm going to vote exactly, and the Republican Party lines up more for what I believe, amen? But I am not putting my hope, we cannot put our hope in any party for an awakening in the body of Christ. Amen? Amen and amen. So there has been a shaking followed by, now I think, an awakening in his body. Amen? And I mentioned this restlessness last week, or dissatisfaction, is the best place you could be right now. Because with that comes a searching of the heart by the Spirit, if we'll allow it. Amen? The Spirit of God. When I talk about a restlessness or dissatisfaction within the body of Christ, I'm speaking of a God-given, God-directed sense of things have to change. It's not the gospel that's going to change. It's not some new revelation or understanding that isn't within the pages of the Bible. But God is going to change the thinking of his church and how it relates to the world. It has to. It has to in every generation. Amen? And it usually comes through pressure. There's a song, I don't know, was this a church song? Under Pressure? I don't know if it's an old hymn. Can't recall. Old hymn, maybe? I don't know. Okay. So this outward pressure results in the church, the individual believer, looking to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ for new strength, for new manna, for fresh purpose. Amen? For fresh joy. Amen, sister? For fresh strength, for overcoming. No matter what the enemy would be bring against us, not giving up, not giving in, knowing that he has your back, knowing that he has my back, knowing that he has a purpose, that he heals our hearts, sets the captive free, and the truth will always prevail. Amen? Amen. The truth will always prevail. Amen? That's good preaching right there. The truth will always prevail. It will only be the truth that will set the captive free. Because with the truth is an anointing, and with the anointing is his grace and ability in our lives. It doesn't matter how long you've been bound. It doesn't matter how long you've been struggling. Today could be your day for God to open up some things within your heart if you allow him. Oh, how he loves you and I. Oh, how he loves you and I. And so when I start with these points right now, and I'll go into, in a few minutes, I hope to get into to Ruth chapter 2, but point number one is, and it starts with groaning. So if you're putting the points, and it starts with groaning. You've probably heard that phrase, stop your moaning and groaning. Have you heard that? Stop your moaning and groaning. But I'm going to tell you, within the house of God, within the Spirit of God, within you, Lord, help me to explain this. It's time to start groaning. See, there's a spiritual groaning within the Holy Spirit that is within you and I. And it starts with Romans 8, verse 26 says, now in the same way the Spirit, say Spirit, I just need to know you're awake still. Now in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. Aren't you glad that the Spirit helps our weakness in our flesh? For we do not know what to pray for as we should. You ever been there? But, thank you, Lord, for the but there. Thank you, Lord, for the but there. Amen? But, amen. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit that lives in you, the Spirit of God, the creator of heaven and earth, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. When you look up at that, it could be deep sighing. It could be something for me to say, Lord, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know what this nation's going to look like. But within the Spirit of God in you, there comes a groaning that cannot be expressed with words, as we don't always know the mind of God, but he knows the mind. And by his Spirit in us, a groaning comes forth that is praying the will of God on earth. Amen? Amen. To the natural mind, this sounds silly, a groaning from the Spirit, just like somebody speaking in tongues, praying in the Spirit, doesn't understand that, but you're praying the mind of God, amen? So a groaning, and it starts with a groaning. So someone says, hey, stop your moaning and groaning, say, man, I've just begun my moaning and groaning and prayer for this country and those things that are pertaining to me in Christ Jesus. That's good stuff from the Word of God. See, number two says it's just too deep for words. So we are dealing with things in society today or sometimes in our lives that can't be resolved by words. You can't talk it through. You can't talk it out. You can talk till you're blue in the face and nothing changes. You can complain about it in the natural, but we need to start to groan in the Spirit. Amen. Can't be resolved by conservative news, political rallies, positive words, positive attitudes. I'm not saying anything wrong with these things. Positive thinking. Why? Because it is too deep for words. Too deep for our understanding. The way that God's going to work in this nation and work in every individual and every family, only God knows. It'll be different in every household. It'll be different. God will always surprise us and how he's going to work in our midst, because you know why? He gets the glory. No individual is going to get the glory. No prophet's going to get the glory. No pastor's going to get the glory. No leader's going to get the glory. But Jesus Christ himself will get the glory. Nothing wrong. There's prophets. I get it. There's leaders. There's pastors. There's Sunday school teachers. But what God's going to do, I believe, is too deep for words to even express right now. And as we begin to pray, and say, Lord, what are you going to do in this day and age? I believe there's going to become a groaning from the body of Christ that's going to birth exactly what he's going to do in this day and this age. And it has to be that way. It cannot come forth by the flesh. It can't come forth by the mind of man. It cannot come by any intellect. It will come by the Spirit of God. See, deep calls to deep, amen? I said deep calls to deep. And the deep things within your heart and your spirit, man, are going to come forth. They're going to come forth in words that you won't even understand. You're going to say, God, thank you for what you're doing in this day and age. It's a groaning from the spirit, man. And it's very scriptural as we've just read it, amen? I did not make it up. Here's point number three, which is very long. Point number one was, and it starts with groaning. Number two, too deep for words. Three, there is a place in prayer where it makes no sense in the natural, but it makes perfect sense in the spirit. Groanings, much like praying in the spirit. Never be afraid of emotional prayers. I'm not saying they have to be. But man, emotional prayers sometimes, praying with all your heart, that's okay. When we have pre-service prayer, man, I get loud in here. I'm sorry. That's just the way I am. I don't like when I'm in a group of people. I don't like hushed prayer. I like to be boisterous when I'm praying in the Spirit. I like to be boisterous when I'm binding the enemy. I like to pray with authority. You remember when you were young and your mom would give you that voice of authority? And you know it? Amen? We need to pray like that. We need to pray with authority. We need to pray in authority in our home, saying, enemy, the devil, get out of here in Jesus' name. Not in any nice way, not being polite, but being downright rude with the enemy. Amen? So emotional prayers are powerful. They don't always have to be that way. God hears our prayer, but I think it's time to start getting loud. When you start praying with authority, man, there's an authority there, and your voice will be raised. I'm telling you, every devil in a square 10 miles are going to say, oh, somebody's praying with authority. Somebody's praying with authority. The ground underneath the hell starts to shake when people pray with authority. Amen? I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So when we're dealing with him, we're praying, we're not being polite, amen? We're making some racket. And I know we got some racket makers in here because I've heard you. And that's okay. That's okay. Amen? Oh. Number four. Earnest prayer has an effect, saints. James 5:16-18. He gives an example. It says, a prayer of a righteous person, when it is brought about, can accomplish little bit, much, much. Then it gives an example of Elijah. It says, and it's interesting, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. He was a man. It means he had his struggles, right? A nature like ours. It means he was not an angelic being. He was not perfect. He wasn't like Christ. It means he was a person just like you and I with his struggles. But this man knew authority. He knew his authority. He knew the authority God had given him for that time and that period. And you know what? The wonderful thing is in this room are a lot of little Elijahs. Did you know that? In this room, there's a lot of Elijahs, amen? Because the Spirit of God lives in us now, amen? And joined together, we're a body, each playing our part. But that's why it says here that Elijah was just like you and you and you. Elijah was just like you, Russ. I know it's hard to believe. I've been wanting to get Russ for some time now. I don't know why. He was just like you, Russ. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. He prayed how? Earnestly, that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Lord, we thank you for such a time as this, that we could start praying, and spiritual fruit would come forth. Aren't you glad for the natural rains that we've gotten? Lord, that we could be Elijah, who's just like you and I, begin to pray and see spiritual fruit come forth. Seeing family members restored to the Lord. Amen. Seeing relationships restored. Hallelujah. Amen. Seeing marriages healed. Seeing deliverances. Amen. Seeing God do a powerful thing coming through a person that is just like you and I. Doesn't that give you hope? Amen. Isn't that awesome? So that we would see the earth produced its fruit. I believe we're in a day and an age that God is producing fruit. Amen? God is producing fruit. God is producing fruit. I can't wait to hear Wednesday as my son talks about God producing fruit. And come and believe for our... I've got other areas in my life and family, just like you, where I'm still waiting for that fruit. But I can tell you one thing, it's coming. I can tell you one thing I've already prayed for. I know it's coming. I don't know when and I don't know how. Even with Elijah, when he prayed that it would not rain at first, he did not know it was going to be 3.5 years before he would finally rain and see fruit again. He did not know that. But I tell you, the answer eventually came because he did not give up and he prayed earnestly in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It is the Lord who helps us in our weaknesses as his spirit reveals to us things. He says, hey, I'd like to show you a few things that are hindering you. Remember we talked about that? Or, hey, I'm directing you here or there. Do this or do that. Through prayer and through listening to his voice, he always directs us. Amen? Amen and amen. And then we remember Mahlon and Chilion being... Mahlon mean weak or sick. Remember that? And killing to be frail or dealt with. And so what happens is they had this dissatisfaction in their lives, and they're here, there's bread back in Israel. They start pursuing the Lord, and those things that had been baggage on them, those things that had been hanging on them, died. They finally said, Lord, we're done with that. We're pursuing you. Those things had nothing to do with salvation. It has those things that can hinder us. They finally died. And I'm telling you, it's only through the power of the cross, because it says we are dead to sin and live unto him. And so these things, you wouldn't name your sons weak or sick or frail, would you? And that's exactly what their names meant. And when it said that her sons died, I looked at this spiritually when she returned to Israel. Those things that had been dogging her were finally dealt with and done. Amen? 1 Peter 2:24 says this, he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we might die to sin and live to what? To righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed. Hallelujah! By his wounds, you have been healed. So it's by his being hung on a tree, he took the curse, amen, of sin and death on his body so that I could walk in freedom. Amen and amen. When God is stirring his body or a person, let me say that we keep doing what we are doing in the aspects of this. We keep making a living. We need to be biblically sound, man. We need to keep working, making a living, right, man? And we need to keep doing what we're doing. In the Monday, from day to day, we just keep going forward, amen? And I pray that each one of you that's working would be blessed out of your socks, amen? You receive that? I do. Lord, thank you for blessing my socks off. Lord, thank you for blessing my socks off. Amen. Thank you for blessing your socks off. And thank you for blessing your socks off. Amen. He blesses the work of our hands. And even beyond that, he blesses us. We could get into sowing and reaping and all of that, the things that God does in blessing his people. If you don't believe that, I'm sorry, because I do. And he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him and his truths and apply them to their lives. You don't take an inner restlessness and say, as an example, I need to get rid of my spouse. Let me say this. The world deals with an inner restlessness and dissatisfaction that has them searching the world over to find temporal relief for an eternal question. Restlessness. Amen? And I'm not saying, don't. Would I say that about wives or husbands? Don't take anything, because I know things happen. I'm talking about where people have this restlessness. And they look, the grass is greener on another side. They do this and that. They don't look to the Lord. As a believer, let me just say, if you have this restlessness within you, just turn to the Lord Jesus. He's the one that satisfies that restlessness. He's the one who brings peace there. He's the one who sets the captive free. Amen? The restlessness that we can search the whole world over. There's a song about that. And be just the same as before. I can't think of the words, thank God. You guys will be thankful I don't start singing that. When there's a restlessness or dissatisfaction, it's a perfect time to say, Lord, what is it? Feel that. Lead and guide me. It could be that he's trying to lead you to an area. He might be wanting to do something in your life. It could be a new direction. It could be new purpose. It could just be putting your hand to the plow where you're at. It could be serving in your church. It could be serving in your community. It could be no telling what it could be. But when you have that restlessness, we need to look to the Lord. Amen. The world will tell you, no, you need to do this. You need to do that. And you go to TikTok and you see what people do because of a dissatisfaction in their hearts. I'm telling you, oh, how he loves you and I. He wants to fill every area that is dissatisfied or whole in our soul. Amen? Amen? With his goodness, his love, his peace, his strength. He wants to bring roots in our lives in those areas to be nurtured by the Holy Spirit, to grow up, to produce fruit in our lives. Amen? That can be shared with other people. The giftings and the abilities that God has placed within you. Amen. That is good stuff right there. And then Naomi hears that there's a fresh provision back in Israel. So she goes. There is a fresh stirring we read about in Naomi in chapter 1. Has a decision to make. Remember we talked about that? To be bitter about the past or look to the future. Amen. And then we have that. She says, I'm going forward. And we have these two daughter-in-laws. Remember the two lot, Orpah and Ruth. And Orpah meant nape or back of the neck and stiff-necked. And so when you read chapter 1, she says, I'm going back. I'm going to go back to where I was. I'm not going to follow you guys. I don't know about you, but I'm not stiff-necked, are you? No. I'm allowing him to lead and guide me by his Spirit. And Ruth meant friend or an associate, loyal, someone you could depend on. So Ruth moves forward with God. I don't know about you, but I want to be a Ruth and not an Orpah. Or what's Orpah? How about you? Let me ask you this. I want to be a Ruth, not an Orpah. I want to have a heart saying, Lord, I'm going to continue to move forward with you. Lord, I'm going to continue to pursue you. I'm going to continue to revel in your grace and your love. Amen? I'm going to continue, Lord, to let you direct my life. That would be like you and I today. Lord, I've experienced some difficult times. I'm in difficult times. So where you lead me, I will follow. Amen? I don't know what the future holds, but I am not letting go of you. I won't allow resentments, past experiences, or past failures, amen, hold me back. What I don't want to be is a person who's simply saved. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a person that is simply saved, got my ticket, and says, let me know when the bus gets here. Amen? But But due to holding things sometimes, issues of the heart, these things I talk about, unforgiveness, resentments, or pet sins, people will say, I'm going to stay right here. But I don't know about you, but me, I want to move on into deeper waters in the Lord. There we find revelation of his goodness, the character of God. We come to understand his continual faithfulness, his provision, his peace, and his strength. Father, I pray, I don't want to be held back by anything. There is nothing in this world worth giving up a pursuing of the Lord, or give up my heart that wouldn't be warm towards him, or say, Lord, I'm going to be lukewarm. No, there's nothing in this world that is worth me being held back from what God has for me. Amen. Amen. You will notice as we move through the book of Ruth, there is no mention of the temple worship, temple sacrifice, just Ruth simply by faith saying, Naomi, your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. That's the gospel of grace through faith. Ruth is a representation of you and I. She's a Moabite. She really has no business being in Israel and when with the people of God, but here she is. It's like what Abraham is told in Genesis 17, was told by God, you shall be the father of many nations. So the results of trusting God, right, amen? Saying, Lord, I'm not going to allow myself to be deceived. I'm not going to allow anything to fool me. I'm not going to allow anything to hold me back from you and what you have for me. The results of trusting God is he directs you. He directs you. This is in Ruth chapter 2, so they get back to Israel, Naomi and Ruth. Ruth chapter 2, verses 1 and 3. It says, now Naomi had a relative or a husband, a man of great wealth, of the family of Elimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth in the Moabitess said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain, following one in whose eyes I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So Naomi says this to Ruth. So she left and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers. This is amazing. And she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was in the family of Elimelech. She happens. See, this is one of the most amazing scriptures to me in the Bible. See, when you trust God by faith, he leads you to exactly where he wants you. When you are trusting the Lord, it's not by chance. Do you hear that, saints? When you're trusting him, it's not by chance. He leads and guides you. You aren't led by a fortune cookie. You aren't led by a horoscope. You aren't led by a soothsayer. You aren't led by the stars. You aren't led by a boyfriend or a girlfriend. You are led by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. Amen? Amen and amen. And so she happens to come to the field of a relative of Elimelech and happens to do there. So she just happens. So what happens? Number 6, when we trust the Lord, there is provision and protection. Those are the promises of God. So she comes, she says, hey, Ruth says, your God is my God. Where you're going, I'm going to go. I'm going to trust the God that you trust. And so she does that. She comes back to Israel. She goes out in the fields to try to they don't have anybody to take care of them. She says, so it's now the season where they're reaping. And so what you would do is some of these poorer people would go behind those that are reaping in the fields. And they would just gather what would be left. There'd be just a little bit. You'd have to work your fanny off all day just to get enough to maybe eat for that day. Because they're gleaning it, right? They're getting everything from that harvest. So when we trust the Lord, there is a provision and protection. Listen to this. So she happens to come to Boaz's field, and Boaz happens to notice her. Listen to this, Ruth chapter 2, verses 8 and 12. Then Boaz said to Ruth, listen carefully. Saints, let's listen carefully to the Lord this morning, amen? He said, listen carefully, my daughter. Do not go to glean in another field. Furthermore, do not go on from this one, but join my young women here. Keep your eyes on the field which they reap and go after them. Indeed, I have ordered the servants not to touch you. When you are thirsty, go to the water jars and drink from what the servants draw. Then she fell on her face, bowing to the ground, and said to him, why have I found favor in your sight that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? Boaz replied to her, "All that you have done for your mother-in-law after the death of your husband has been fully reported to me, and how you left your father and your mother in the land of your birth and came to a people that you did not previously know." And many of you, when you came to the Lord, you didn't know anything about the Lord. You didn't know anything about the church of God, amen. You didn't know anything about his people. It was like coming to, you remember coming to a church service the first time? It was like coming to a foreign country. People raise their hand and worshiping and everything. You're like, where am I? It was just like what Ruth was going through. Amen. Amen. And then it says this, verse 12, he said, "May the Lord reward your work." Amen. Say, "Lord, reward my work. And may your wages be full from the Lord." And may your wages be full from the Lord. Let me say that again. And may your wages be full from the Lord. In this day and the hour when it seems to be lack and there seems to be fear, Lord, may the people of God, may our wages be full from the Lord. Full from the Lord. See, she was in a field that she was gleaning behind the other worker. She shouldn't have had anything, hardly. But we'll find out with Boaz, he made sure she was taken care of. May the Lord reward your work, and may your wages be full from the Lord, the Lord of the God of Israel, under whose wings, remember we just read that in Psalm 93? The God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. Man, I don't know about you, Lord, but I've come to take refuge under your wings. Under your protection, under your guidance, under your provision, under your goodness. Amen. Amen and amen. You know, it's interesting that and we'll get more to but Boaz, 2 Chronicles 3:17, we're going forward in the Bible. So this is the first temple that was built by Solomon. So it says he erected the pillars in front of the temple. One on the right and the other on the left. And the name of the one on the right was a Hakin, and the one on the left was Boaz. See, pillar in the Old Testament, Boaz's name means pillar. Pillar in the Old Testament was made out of wood or stone. The wood became a curse for you and I. Cursed is he who is hung on a tree. Amen. Jesus was hung on a tree, was hung on wood, to take the curse of sin and death for you and I. And so these pillars would either be made wood or stone. So he took the curse of our sin, and then he became the rock by which we stand. Amen. He is our pillar. He is our strength. See, Boaz is a type of Christ. We'll actually read that he's actually in the line of David, this whole book. He's in the lineage of King David, who is the lineage of Jesus Christ. Boaz being a type of Christ for you and I, as we're in his field, amen, as we're in exactly where God wants us to be, he takes care of us, amen. He makes sure to provide for us. Even in a field where you're like, how are you going to provide for me, Lord? Does it seem like there's nothing here? I'm telling you, he will provide for you, amen. He will take care of you. No matter what may be coming in the future, when we're in the field of the Lord saying, "I'm going to trust you, Lord," Boaz being our Christ saying, "I will watch over and protect you. I'll provide food for you. I'll provide water. I'll refresh your soul." Amen and amen. All this before, you know, this, what's so interesting is all this before we hear a word about redemption, which we will. He has ordered our steps before time even began. You could be here today and you don't know the Lord or haven't given your life to him, but I'm telling you, he's watched you every step of the way. Oh, how he loves you. Amen. Today could be the day where you just simply say, "Lord, I give my heart to you. I trust you to take care of me. Lord, I humble myself." As the word of God says, God brings the close to the humble, but opposes the proud. The proud says, I don't need God, or I've got my own method. No, Jesus says that he loves the humble. He brings the humble close. Amen. The humble says, "Lord, I need you. Lord, I want you to wash my sins away. I need you to wash my sins away. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Lord, I want you to be my provider. Lord, I want you to be the one who refreshes me." And so we have here, as the worship team comes, so we have here where Boaz, Ruth just happens to end up in the field of a relative of Elimelech. Amen? You go back to chapter 1, Elimelech has died. Seems like that Ruth, all her dreams, all her purpose had faded. It seemed like her dreams and everything she'd hoped for had been crushed. And there was no hope. And then she goes with her daughter-in-law back to Israel. Amen? She tells her mother-in-law, Ruth, that, hey, I've got to go find some work. I've got to go find us food. And she happens to come into the field of Boaz, a relative of Elimelech. Let me tell you, saints, there's no such thing in our lives as chance. Amen? There's no such thing as chance. Where God has you now, you might have been through a lot. You might have been like in chapter 1, amen, where we have deaths in the family. Those could be the deaths of dreams. You could be like, man, I don't know what's left for me. But in chapter 2, what's something that she could not believe would happen, amen, she happens to come into a field that belonged to Boaz. All of a sudden like that, things changed, amen? All of a sudden like that, those things that looked like Naomi thought, man, things can't be restored. Things will never be like they were. And here she is, but she trusts God and comes. And here is her daughter-in-law, ends up in a relative's field. And all of a sudden, the provision of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God overtakes Ruth and Naomi. Let me tell you, every shattered dream, every broken promise from somebody else, everything that would crush a soul, I'm telling you, when we trust God and don't give up, He is a rewarder. He's a restorer. Yes, He'll do things that you could never imagine. If we'll trust Him and believe Him, He will do things that we would never imagine would be possible. And He'll be the provider. Amen. He'll refresh your soul. He'll strengthen you. Man, He'll lead and guide you. And it was all only because of Ruth by faith saying, I'm going to serve God. Don't know where we're going, don't know where we're headed, but I'm following you. And Naomi had no idea what God had for you. You know, when we trust Him, regardless of the past, regardless of the things that would try to hang on to us, we have no idea what God wants to release in our lives. We have no idea what God's going to do in our lives when we just simply say, I'm not going to give up. I'm going to trust you. You're faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God is true. The promises of God are yes and amen. His word does not return void, but it accomplishes what He sets it out to do. Amen. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Can we stand up together? Amen. Hallelujah, Lord. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your promises. We thank You for Your deliverance, Father God. We thank You for Your freedom in Jesus' name. We thank You for breaking every fetter and every chain. Father, we thank You for hard hearts being softened, Father God, for the Word of God to be set in the heart of the soil of the heart and accomplish what You wanted to accomplish, Lord. We thank You for that, God. We thank You the things that You accomplished by us simply daring to believe and not giving up. And we thank You for that today, Father God. Lord, I receive that from You today. If you receive that word, just say, Lord, I receive that today, Father. Lord Jesus, I'm not giving up or giving in. I'm not giving up or giving in. Amen. You're a restorer and a rewarder. I say He's a restorer and He's a rewarder. Hallelujah. He's a restorer and a rewarder. So we thank You for that today, Father. How we love You. We worship You, Father God. We thank You for Your presence. We thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for the power of God. We thank You for the grace of God. We thank You for the word of God. We thank You for Your goodness. Father, we thank You for Your loving kindness, Father God. We thank You that Your mercies are new every morning. Amen. His mercies are new every morning. And we thank You for that today, Father. How we love You. How we worship You. It doesn't matter if we get up at 1:30 in the morning saying, what am I going to do? There's always a promise and a word from God in due season where we are at. I said there's always a promise and a word of God for in due season So we thank you for that today. Lord, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your loving kindness, Father God. We thank you, Father. We bless you. We honor you. Lord, we have hearts with thanksgiving, overflowing with thanksgiving this morning. So we love you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. The name above every name. The name above every name. In the name of Jesus, every demonic foe's knee must bow. Every hindrance will be broken. Amen. We thank you for that today. Lord, we thank you for blessing us, your people. We thank you for encouraging us. And we thank you for leading us. Thank you for speaking to us in the night hours, the day hours, in our cars, in our offices, when we're out working in the garden, when we're working on that vehicle, when we're cleaning the garage. Whatever the case is, we thank you for speaking to us daily. And we love you for that, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen. If you need prayer or someone to agree with you in prayer, please come forward. We'd love to agree with you in prayer this morning.